What's up, everyone, and welcome to episode 283 of Two Amazon Sellers and a Microphone, brought to you by Solozo. And today, for right now, it's just me as your host. Chris is in a meeting he couldn't get out of, but we're going to try to get him on here at some point if he can get available. But we're really excited today because, this has always been fascinating to me. All the different testing that you can do on images, on titles, and what the impact can be on conversion rate just by changing one little thing. So we're going to be talking about how to boost your Amazon sales with consumer insights. And joining us is the master of it, Justin Chin. He's the co-founder of PickFu. And Justin, welcome.
Excited. Yeah, thanks for having me on the show, Justin.
Absolutely. I think this is really important for everybody because I know I started selling on Amazon 10 years ago, wildly different landscape. Mm-hmm. I mean, the things that we could do back then, I could just post, I could get on Fiverr, have some guy make a couple images for me, post that up, write a quick title, bullet points, sell a really commoditized product with a brand name that I came up with. Mm-hmm. Very different now. Yeah. You really have to just kind of engineer. It's a game. You got to be better than everybody else. And there's a lot of everybody else now out there. So I can't wait to dive into all the things that you guys are doing at PickFu to make that easier and really use data to make those decisions. But I want to give you a chance. We haven't spoken before. We have talked about PickFu. I think we had your co-founder on the podcast before, but would love to start for everyone listening who doesn't know you, doesn't know PickFu. How did you end up co-founding PickFu? What was your journey like up to that point?
Sure. Yeah. So we actually, my co-founder John and I built PickFu years ago, like over a dozen years ago, as a side project. So we're serial entrepreneurs. We were building a different website at the time, and we were working on a redesign for that. We wanted to get feedback on two different design layouts that we were thinking about. We couldn't make a decision between the two of us. So we wanted to, being engineers, we're like, let's just build a solution to do this. I think by that point, we had been going at it for a while. And so we used up all the goodwill from friends and family. So, at a certain point, you ask your friends and family questions and they're just kind of like, yeah, whatever you say, best. And so it just becomes less useful. So we figured we had to get out of our own heads and ask strangers for their opinion. So we built PickFu for our own use. We weren't doing e-commerce. We were just doing a different web business. We threw it up on the internet and we started getting traction amongst authors, actually. So a lot of self-publishing authors testing book titles and book covers. Tim Ferriss had popularized testing your titles with ads and using data-driven decision-making. And so we had a lot of authors doing that, which was a really interesting niche. Still have a lot of authors today and publishers. But around 2018, 2019, the Amazon space kind of discovered us. I think Kevin King had mentioned it at Global Sources, and then it was on the AMPM podcast with Mandy Coates. And so we started seeing this interesting use case of people testing out different aspects of their Amazon products. And like you said, marketplaces are hyper-competitive and everything matters even more so because they're not searching by brand, they're searching by product type. And so we found that there was a very strong value proposition to people selling in marketplaces like Amazon and now Walmart or Etsy or anything like that. So we started growing the team and really refining the product to particularly cater to that type of customer. And that's kind of where it brings us today.
It's fascinating that because my awareness of PickFu came from Kevin King and the AMPM podcast. In my mind is like you were designed for that. yeah. So it's interesting to see that there was a different, sounds like you really started it. You're basically trying to test out your own websites and see what adjustments you could make. And then it grew. Also interesting is my wife is an author, a children's book author, an illustrator. So there's a lot of interesting things. I'll have to talk to her about this, about testing, but this is people in marketing, have been doing this concept for years.
That's right.
You know, with focus groups and all this other stuff. And, you know, and it was big brands that were doing it, and it was really expensive, mm-hmm. you know, and you've kind of made this easy for anybody to really do a lot of different tests. Because as an Amazon seller or any marketplace seller, and admittedly, you know, this is something that, as you know, for me, I can get complacent. I can be like, oh, this product's selling really well.
Yeah.
And just forget about every tweak that you could make that would give it, you know, if it's a 5% improvement, that's a huge improvement. And then you can test something else and test something else. So it really fits very nicely with the Amazon space. You want to talk a little bit, I think I want to go back because you're an engineer. Okay. Yeah. So and you're a serial entrepreneur. So were you doing anything? Did you ever have a real job before you got into the serial entrepreneurship space?
Yeah, both of us had real jobs. Out of college, we graduated kind of during the dot-com bust. And so we went the corporate route. I went to Hewlett Packard. My co-founder, John, went to Microsoft. We did the corporate thing for a few years before we got that entrepreneurial itch and decided to start something together. And then we've been working together for 17 years, I think, is the count now. So always in software, always building different things in software. And with this one, we're really excited because, like you said, we're trying to democratize consumer research. We're trying to bring enterprise grade quality and testing methodologies down to anyone who doesn't have that expertise. And I think that's the exciting part about it, is that anyone who's selling anything to consumers could benefit from some kind of insight at some kind of decision during their process. And whether you're an author who's selling books to consumers and testing your book covers, or an Amazon seller validating product sourcing decisions or designs or brandings or logos. I mean, branding, logos and company names and domain names is kind of like our bread and butter. We have so many entrepreneurs testing those simple things because, you know, you typically, like even for us, we went to 99 Designs. You could probably still find it on there to design our logo. And, you know, you get like 50 logos. Like, how are you going to decide which one to go with? Sure, you have some preferences, but you still want to put it out to the crowd to get some feedback. So, it's really an really interesting opportunity, I think, to really put this kind of power into the hands of anyone around the world.
Democratize was the word I was looking for. I'm glad you brought that up. I was looking for that. That is what you did. But okay, you brought up a lot of things I wasn't even thinking about, because, you know, going back in time to just the, you know, you as a seller, you're like, okay, I want to create a brand, mm-hmm. and I want to start selling most likely on Amazon to build that brand. But I wasn't thinking about all the things that maybe would have been worthwhile to test. Just like you said, like, what is your brand? What's your brand name? What's your logo? What's your domain name? Mm-hmm. Like, how does that test? I wasn't even thinking about potentially testing out a product before even purchasing it. Like, I'm assuming you're saying, like, which one of these products would you buy?
Exactly.
Side by side. So you can really take this data all the way down to the very, very beginning and just give yourself the best opportunity moving forward. So let's talk about what the process looks like for somebody. I mean, what would be my first step? Let's say I'm going for right now, I'm just trying to decide on a brand name. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, what does that process look like through PicFu?
Yeah, let me take one step back before we do that and kind of talk about how we discovered this, because, you know, like yourself, everyone knows us for Main Image, because that was the most obvious thing that you could do. You test main images. But what would happen is people would test their main image. They would put their main image against their competition, and they would run a poll, and they'd read through all the feedback, and the feedback would comment about, oh, I don't like that brand. I don't like that name. It doesn't make any sense. Like, the packaging sucks. Like, I don't like that design. And this guy's just trying to, change their main image. Let's change the layout or something like that. But there's all these core issues that they didn't test. And so usually the journey is they'll come because, like, you know, some listing's not performing well. They're trying to optimize just the main image. But what they discover is that, okay, next time I do a rebrand, or maybe when I launch my next product, I'm going to start from the very beginning. And so what that looks like is, as they're doing brand, we'll have people run tests like, say you're in home and kitchen or something like that, and I'm starting a home and kitchen brand. Which one of these names like resonates the most with, you know, a home and kitchen brand? And so like that's a really simple way to start. Even ideating, like for a home and kitchen brand, like what values are important to you? And you can just ask open-ended questions. Like you don't always have to compare things. And I think that's one of the things that people don't know about Picfu, is that you could just ask an open question or just get feedback on one thing. So maybe you have this brand and you might even say, here's my brand name, you know, Solozo. Like, what do you think it does? And that's always fun because it's like, oh, I thought it was like a tech company, but you're actually selling, you know, baby goods. And like, that's not great. Right. So there's a lot of different ways you can approach it. Like if you already have a brand name and you want to test it against variations, or you just want to get open-ended feedback, then you could do the same with the logo. You could do the same with like brand colors or whatever it is. Product concept. So when you're sourcing, you can test out different images from manufacturers, or if you're doing a unique design, you can do 3D renders and test out different variations. And of course, test it out against your competition, because if your product differentiation isn't obvious or interesting enough, you may not make an impact in the market. So maybe don't even go down that route, right? And we actually have a lot of sellers who will vet whether or not they go into a product category by doing these hypothetical tests first, because maybe there's some incumbents with thousands of reviews and like, you know, such low pricing. Well, you know, you got to have some pretty strong product differentiation or really good branding or whatever, the whole package, right? A really compelling offer to be able to come in, especially if you're going to come in with less ratings and like a higher price, you could actually do that hypothetical test on Picfu.
Yeah. I mean, this is really getting my mind going in a lot of different directions. This is important. Really, really. I mean, I'm sure you've got a lot of success stories where you're seeing like, you know, just a few changes and the impact on the conversion rate or how it's ranked organically on Amazon or anything else. It's so funny because a long time ago, I've got that serial entrepreneur streak as well. And a huge mistake I made in a previous life, I was a tennis teaching professional and I wanted to start a tech company that was, for scheduling online. This was way back like, when people weren't doing that.
Yeah.
How can clients schedule their lessons online? So I worked with this tech company and built this whole thing, spent a lot of money building this out. I won't say the brand name I came up with, because in my mind, I was like, okay, I've got to have a name that like doesn't mean anything, but it's like a Google or something like that was very, you know, it's catchy. It's kind of like a made up name. So I came up with one and then went through this whole process of launched the product and everything. Turns out, that word, that brand name that I had, was also a word that was on Urban Dictionary for a very risque meaning that I had no idea about. And I was like, oh, this is embarrassing. Like, I cannot believe it. If I would have tested that, somebody would have said something.
Somebody would have mentioned it, yeah. And the same goes with, you know, as people do market expansion, and maybe you've got a brand here, and now you're expanding to like the German marketplace or the UK or Australia, you know, people often assume like, well, I'm doing well here, I'm just going to like take it and launch it. Well, you should probably test all the aspects of your branding and your, you know, like your logos and obviously like your marketing copy and even product interests. Right. So, you know, we recently opened up Australia, Canada, UK and Germany as additional panels that we could tap into. And we've got a few more countries coming. And so it's really important that as you do that expansion, that you do that validation against your target audience.
That's also very interesting. I mean, that is something that is happening right now at scale with a lot of Amazon sellers is expanding into international markets. Mm-hmm. And yeah, again, I wasn't thinking about that, but your brand name could have a wildly different meaning.
Yes.
In Germany, that you would be very unaware of. And you know, that would open up.
Yeah. Like it might just need a rebrand and then you might be fine, but you could offend everyone and you're going to print all this on your packaging and your product. Then, you know, that's going to be a huge sunk cost that you could potentially be eating.
So, I mean, again, it's been a while. I did do some tests years ago on Picfu, don't remember all of it. And definitely after having this conversation, like, I need to really do a lot more of this. But are you curating like the audience you want to see and selecting the number of responses? Like, how is a client like me, if I'm using PickFu, how sure. am I getting get the best result possible from this yep. test?
So I guess backing up, the way that we build our pool of respondents, we tap into the same enterprise pools that a Procter & Gamble might use when they conduct their own consumer research. So we tap into all those kinds of consumer panels. You know, when you read about articles around like, oh, consumers say this, or a political poll or whatever, we're tapping into all those same companies that do that. So we build our own layer of quality control on top of that, which is incredibly difficult if you've done anything with market research. Like the quality is incredibly bad. So we do a lot of quality control on top of that. And then we have our own layer of demographic targeting. So we have all kinds of different targeting, from the basic demographics like age and gender and ethnicity to Amazon Prime subscriber. Maybe you shop on Walmart, you shop on Etsy, or you have a dog, you're a tea drinker, you exercise, you take nutritional supplements, whatever buying habits that might be relevant to you, like we probably have it. And if we don't, let us know, we can add it. So the customer experience on PickFu is you create one of these very simple polls, you ask a question, maybe upload some creative assets, and then you'll choose, first of all, you know, what market, US, Germany, whatever it is. Then you could choose targeting, or you can just do general. So you could say like, oh, I want Prime shoppers who have dogs, because I'm selling a dog dog product. And we'll go out, we'll find that group of people, we'll pay them to respond. And if you remember, like, this is typically very fast. Usually 15, 30 minutes, a little bit longer if like really niche targeting, but usually something that you could use within that same day. And what we'll find is that people will iterate with their designers or whoever's on the team creating the creatives, and use the feedback in real time and read through the responses and see like, oh, well, people don't like this color, let's try a different one. They don't like this font, let's try a different one. This messaging's not resonating, let's tweak it up. And so you can iterate very quickly, whereas typically in the past, when even a large, if Procter & Gamble were to run something like this, it would take weeks and weeks and thousands of dollars to do the same thing.
So the responses to these polls come that quick?
Yeah.
You're able to see responses in like 30 minutes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like if we were just, I guess we could have done this if we had known, but I could start a poll now within a matter of minutes. You would have responses that you could start reading. Yeah.
So your group of participants is massive.
Yeah, it's millions of people. Yeah.
And are they just getting, because now I'm really curious, because I'm curious about the flip side too. Like, it sounds like these participants get paid.
They're incentivized in different ways. They're primarily paid, or some kind of credits that they get redeemed for, some kind of gift card or whatever it is. It's different based on different panels, and there's a lot of companies that kind of deal with like finding consumers, trying to incentivize them to do different things. And we try to stitch all of that together and find the best quality ones of those groups.
And so inside your platform, are these responses just coming in and you're seeing them populate live on the platform?
Yep.
Okay. So if I'm doing this, am I able to, I'm sure there's different buckets of sample sizes.
Yes.
Like how many people you want involved. At what point do you start getting really good validation? Like at what number of people responding does it really speak to what the market wants?
Sure. So that we kind of advise to choose a bucket depending on like what you're trying to do right now. So like we can go as low as 15 responses. So $1 per response, that'd be $15. And we see a lot of people doing 15 to do iterative stuff. So say you're working on some marketing imagery or whatever it is, and your packaging design, and you just want to test two different versions, and you're testing out the font. Okay, well, I don't need 100 different people to tell me that like this font is really ugly or this color is really ugly. Like if I run 15 and I get like 9 out of 15, I'm going to feel fairly confident that that's a good enough response. So I think for iterative stuff, you can actually go quite low. Then if you're trying to validate something, 100 to 200 responses is typically more than enough. And it does come down to what the split is, right? So like if it comes down to, you know, 70-30, you're going to be pretty safe with 100, even 50 responses actually. But if it were to come down to a smaller winning percentage, you would need a higher sample size to kind of have higher confidence in that.
Interesting. So what would, and then you just add on, you say, I need more responses.
Yeah. So you could start with 15 and then say like, oh, okay, I need 50 now. I need 100. And you can keep increasing it if you feel like you're not confident enough in those results. Or yeah, but I would say it kind of depends on like what stage you're doing something. Like if you're doing like a smaller, like directional change around iteration, then I would go like 15, 30, 50, something like that. And then if you're trying to validate, maybe you're testing your final thing against your competition and you really want to make sure, I would do 100 or 200.
And so when you're doing these tests is, because let's just say you're testing a main image. So mm-hmm. this is an iteration type test.
Sure.
Is it better to do like A versus B or like an A, B, C, D, E type test?
Yeah. I would say 3 to 4 is like maybe the sweet spot or the max that I would probably go. I think you can go up to 8, but I think it does get kind of onerous, I think, for the respondents. So I think it might be more difficult for them to make those comparisons. And one thing to clarify is that when we do more than two, actually they don't just choose the one that they like, they actually rank all of them in preferential order. So if there were 8, they would actually rank all 8 and they would look at and like, oh, here's my first, here's my second, here's my third. And the reason we do that is so that if we just had them choose one and you had 8, you might end up with 12.5% like across the board, which is not incredibly useful.
Right. But
if you do the preferential ranking, it's kind of like the elections. A lot of areas are doing ranked choice voting, and basically it does like this instant runoff tally. So basically there's all this math that goes on, but basically we discard the votes until we get a majority vote on one of them. And so having that ranking actually allows us to come to a winning option more often.
Interesting, because I was going to ask, like, would it make sense if you did 8 before you do something like this and then take like the top 2 and run them as a secondary poll just against each other?
Yeah.
And maybe that's something that but I like that ranking.
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
What, because I mean, it does sound, I mean, I really, and this is just me being naive to everything, is like, I really thought it was like main images, title.
Yeah,
I mean, I wasn't going down the rabbit hole of all the things you could test, and I've got lots of questions. But number one is, what's the most bizarre thing you've seen tested? Outside of the box, or yeah. Just you're like, wow, that was a crazy idea. That's actually pretty good.
So there's always a lot of like personal things that are being tested. We see a lot of like Tinder profile photos.
Really?
The baby names. So, you know, testing out which I'm going to have a boy, like which of these names, or on the flip side, which name is easier to make fun of, you know, because you're trying to protect like the psyche of your newborn child. So there's a lot of that kind of stuff. One of my favorite ones that's kind of fun from a e-commerce perspective is asking the question of what do you think this is, and then putting up like your packaging or your product or whatever, or maybe it's your main image.
Yeah.
And you probably think it's amazing because you designed it, but if you put it up and people are like, I have no idea what this is. I think there was one where it was it kind of looked like a rake or a back scratcher, but like because you couldn't really tell like how big it was, like people were like, oh, it's obviously a back scratcher. No, it's a Zen sand rake, or you know, like there's all these different, or maybe it's a comb or whatever it is. And so it's just kind of funny to see what people gravitate to. And if you don't have packaging or some sense of scale in your image, like people just really can't tell. And so I think that's always a fun one to do, especially if you're an agency and like you're trying to, you know, combat a client who's stubborn about changing something. Running these kinds of tests is incredibly good ammo to say like, hey, look, the general public has no idea what your product does, or that your packaging is super confusing, or that your brand name needs a rebrand. So we see a lot of agencies actually use it to not only get clients to do work, but also to justify that their work worked, right? So we'll have like web design agencies, and they'll take their new design and then the old design, like, hey, just before we put it out there, we just want to show how much better your new design is performing in, you know, the consumer's eyes.
Well, that's really interesting, actually, because, you know, from the mindset of somebody who's maybe making their own product, their own brand, mm-hmm. you're so invested in it that you forget how it's viewed, because yes. you know everything about it. I talk to sellers all the time, because I'm talking to people that are looking to improve their advertising mm-hmm. through Celozo. And they'll come on and I'll look at their product or I'll search their main keyword, and it'll be 50 identical products, and yes. they're in the middle of it and like double the price. And they'll be adamant. They're like, no. Ours is way better material. Ours is so much better. Ours is this and that. I'm like, I can't tell.
No, no one knows that.
I'm like, I believe you 100%. But I'm telling you, this looks the same as everything else. Mm-hmm. That's half the price. You've got to fix this main image or your mm-hmm. listing to highlight those things. So what it is interesting is, like, from now on, I'm saying, go to PicFu and run a quick test and yeah. ask them what the difference is between these four products and see what the answer is. See if yeah. I'm right or wrong.
Yeah, that's such an important part about it, because kind of like what I was saying, where sellers are trying to test hypothetical products against your competition, if you can't meaningfully show the product differentiation, either because the design is different or you're going to have packaging that's included in the main image or something that highlights it, it's I used better materials. Well, you know, who's going to know that, right? And unless you advertise that hard, or like that is a huge issue with the other, you know, the other products or whatever it is, like it's going to be hard to just only go on that.
Oh, for sure. I mean, on that same note, I mean, it's so interesting. It's funny when you put something out there like a PicFu, and then you let the market just come in and yeah. see what they're going to do with it. Like, I would have yeah. never guessed baby names or anything like that, but it's cool to see what people are testing. But from an e-commerce perspective, what are some of like the things that are like the biggest successes you've seen, like some change just dramatically changes a brand's trajectory or something?
Yeah. I mean, I think the biggest success that we talk about is Thrasio. So we all know Thrasio as one of the aggregators. And one of their earliest products was the Angry Orange pet deodorizer.
Oh, yeah. Very familiar.
Yeah. And so that rebrand happened using PicFu. So they knew that it was performing well as a product, because I think it reviewed well. But the packaging design kind of looked a little amateurish, and so they wanted to do a redesign. They made a lot of different designs. They tested it on PicFu to validate which direction they wanted to go in. And only after PicFu validated it did they decide to sink all this money into rebranding, repackaging, retooling everything, right? Because it was a completely different bottle shape and everything. And from there, their sales rose, and then they've continued to build sub-products off that new branding, off that new Angry Orange branding that was tested with PicFu. So that's been a massive success for them and for us. Was quite minimal in the amount of PicFu cost. So I think they got a very good ROI on that. But to your other point that you talked about earlier, you could do like a $50 test on PicFu, test out a couple of main image variations. And we had Yes Bar, who's one of those like protein bar brands. They changed their main image and they didn't touch anything else on the listing to run this test. And they saw a 13% increase in click-through rates off like a $50 PicFu test, just modifying some stuff like with the main image to highlight the product a little bit better, and incredibly high return on investment.
That is a high rate. And the Angry Orange, that was an example I always used. That's fascinating that was, you guys were a part of that success. But yep. anybody who hasn't seen Angry Orange, go to Amazon and search Angry Orange.
Yep.
It is the best branding.
It's beautiful.
And consistent. And their everything, their images, their A+ content, their sponsored brand videos, even their ad strategy is fascinating. I mean, they do a good job of blocking everybody else out yeah. On their listing. But if that, because I remember this, I mean, I was even at Prosper I don't know, it was a while ago, and I don't know who was giving the talk, but they were talking about Angry Inch and just like the, it was probably Thrasio talking about it, but just the skyrocketing of it. And it really was, I mean, if you break it down, just like you said, it was pretty simple and it was pretty cost for the result. It was like, super cheap. So man, that's okay. Did not know that Angry.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of fun ones. I mean, obviously not everyone wants to talk about it. Another aggregator related one, I guess, not to their product, but, you know, Elevate actually rebranded using PicFu. So I don't know if you know, before it was called Recon Brands.
Yeah.
So they were using PicFu for their products, and then they're like, hey, well, we're going to do a rebrand for the company anyways. And so they actually rebranded by testing a bunch of different names, company names, using PicFu. And so, you know, that's kind of our bread and butter, like I said before, is you know, company names, branding, logos, all that kind of stuff.
I mean, my mind is really going all over the place now. I can think of so many questions that I would ask, even starting in like product development.
Yes.
Like, if you were going to use this, what features would you like added to 100%. This? I mean, are you seeing that a lot on the platform where people are actually product developing through PicFu the entire process?
Yeah. So, I mean, really think of this like a digital focus group, like you were saying before. So maybe you're a tea drinker and like, what issues do you have with like your tea drinking process? That's a question. Like, what do you hate about your teapot or whatever it is, right? Like, you could just really dive in and kind of do this like customer development. And then you could say, okay, what if I was developing this concept? And maybe you just describe a paragraph of like this product that you're thinking about. We've seen napkin sketches. It's like, hey, like, I'm thinking about building this and, you know, here's what it's going to do. Like, what do you think? And just getting people to react to it, because otherwise, who are you asking? You're asking your friends and family, maybe they're not even your target audience, probably your, you know, spouse or something like that. But I mean, it's an incredible way to get out of your own head, get it, you know, it's kind of like going to a coffee shop and just asking a bunch of random people. And the feedback is super awesome for this kind of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. Even like bundling, like what item would you buy in conjunction with this to like bundle? Or
we see a lot of bundle testing actually. Yeah. Even if it was an additional item, just testing out, you know, is three at this price better than two at this price versus the one at this price, right? And so kind of playing with that and seeing like, okay, well, this seems to be the sweet spot and I can actually drive up my average order value now because I'm, you know, selling this package of three of them at this certain price.
So I guess price testing is another one. It's just like you can go down a rabbit hole. So I mean, you could test against your competitors and say, would you buy this one at this price versus these at this price?
Yeah. So we actually built we were seeing so many people doing this with Photoshop where they would take search results and kind of change the pricing around to experiment with it, that we built a mock-up tool that you could find on our website where basically you could import, put some ASINs in and we'll import some data and then you could change it. So you could be like, well, hypothetically, if I changed this image and I had like 10 ratings and they have like 5,000, 6,000, whatever, but I come in at $9.99 and they're at like $10.99. Like, how am I going to do? Well, what if it was $8.99? You know, then run another test. And so you can just keep playing with it, figure out what the right threshold is of like, okay, well, that's good enough. And for those tests, what's interesting is that you don't ever have to win it. Like, you don't necessarily have to beat like some well-known brand. Like, but if you can take away enough market share and just be happy with that, like, that's also pretty good, right? So that's a test we see quite often, is testing kind of like hypothetical search results, both as they're trying to optimize pricing and imagery, but also if they should go into the market.
Well, so much you can do with that data. I mean, that could even go down to like how much initial inventory you're even ordering.
If you're talking about
like 60% of the responses said yes, they would buy it, and you know what the sales volume is in that niche, if you're at that price with these images, you can probably pretty confidently assume that you're going to be around there.
Yeah.
So there's
And actually, and to inventory stocking, variations, huge. So are you doing like five colors, three colors? What are the colors and how much of each color are you going to do? We actually had a customer come up to us and say that he was selling diaries. He thought he wanted to stock like a bunch of different colors, because why not? it came back like resoundingly for one color. So he decided to only stock that color. And of course it did super well. It sold out of his initial inventory. And so he kind of like kept focusing on that color, but at least you know that it's going to work. And we've all bought stuff on Amazon where you see a certain color that's like heavily discounted, and it's probably because no one wants that color and it's not selling. Right. And so like that sucks to be in that situation. You might as well have some of that data up front. And even if you want to sell all the colors, like don't order them in the same amount.
Right. Yeah. This is where my mind is going. I mean, for a $50, $100, $150 test on something like that, you could be saving tens of thousands in bad inventory buys.
Yes. 100%. That's
and there's just
de-risking.
Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, I know we're going to run out of time with the questions that I have, and we're going to have to get back on and talk about at some point in the future, talk about more, but I'm curious what's next for Pickford. I mean, is there things that you guys are talking about, working on and expanding or making tests different or anything else coming down in the future?
Yeah. I mean, we're always doing a lot of product development. So like I said, we're expanding the different audiences that we have available to different countries. So that's an active thing. You know, for example, Germany's been picking up quite a bit. And then the cool thing about that is we're hitting German native speakers. So our response form, and we translate your question into German, and then we get the responses in German and translate them all back. So really helpful for people who obviously are not German speakers. And then we've been building some AI research assistant tools on top of the results. So, when you get 100, 200 responses, even 50, it's a lot to read through to try to figure out like what's the trend here. And so what we do is we feed all those results into AI and we summarize it. So it pulls out the important points. And then you could actually ask it kind of like ChatGPT style, well, give me the top five questions that people are asking. For option B, like what could I improve to like make it better? Really probe into like what you want to know. And it's incredibly effective because a lot of people are doing this themselves and it saves a lot of time. So that kind of stuff. And then we do have like new poll types that we're working on and all that kind of stuff. So a lot of fun things.
AI is so fascinating right now. Obviously that's a hot topic, but
yeah.
I was actually going to ask that because I'm like, I'm not going to read through. I mean, I do this with like emails. I'm like, summarize this.
Yes. Yeah. And Amazon's doing it on reviews now. Right. And it's helpful.
It is very helpful. It's neat that you're building that into it. Just the last thing before I let you go, because I want to talk about it. I mean, being on the other side, being a participant who's responding to these. I mean, I know there's a lot of people out there that they love little, side hustles and make a little extra cash or gift cards or whatever. I mean, do people go to your website and they apply to be a responder, or what do you call them?
Responders? Yeah, we call them respondents. Yeah.
Yeah.
Responder sounds too much like a first responder.
Right.
So we don't take direct signups for respondents, and we do everything through our panel partners. So that just makes it easier so that we're not working on both sides of the marketplace, so to speak. So, managing a pool of respondents is a business of its own.
Sure.
And so we kind of leave that to the experts. And then we are able to then just pay our partners who then, will distribute incentives to their respondents. So you could always join our wait list. Like at some point we may. So we do have, we do have like a sign up list for when we decide to launch something. We'll reach out to anyone who's on that list.
Well, this has been fascinating. And I know if people are listening to this or seeing this, and this is the first time they're hearing about PickFu, or that their mind is racing like mine is right now of like all the things that I definitely should have done and I'm definitely going to do in the future. What do they need to do to start their first poll?
Yeah. So it's free to sign up. So everything's always pay as you go anyway. So if you want to do a 15 response poll, it's $15. Pay with credit card. There's no subscription fee ever blocking you. But it's free to create an account. And when you onboard, you'll actually get a taste of it. We've got a free like 5 response onboarding poll. So everyone can get a sense of like the quality of responses and how fast it comes in. I mean, those polls will be done in a matter of minutes. And so if you want to go and test out like an image that you might have or test it out against a competitor just to get a sense of what we can do, that's all free. So go check it out. We have a lot of pre-built templates so that if you're not sure how to phrase questions or you just need ideas, we've got a template library that you could tap into. And then we've got a great customer success team that's located all around the world in different languages as well. So if anyone ever has any questions, you could write into live chat or they can hop on a Zoom strategy call to talk through your listing and maybe give you ideas of like, okay, why don't we run this kind of test to like, you know, dig into the issues. So a lot of different options, incredibly easy. And we try to be as helpful along the way.
And you gave us a discount code to show to everybody. Yes. So we'll put that in the description so people can find it, but it's 50% off your first pull. Yep. Using the code SELOZO. So what have you got to lose, everybody? Just go try exactly. Your first pull.
You can be the next Angry Orange, right?
Exactly. Or figure out your baby name, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, one last thing, just because I'm super curious. Have politicians started using this for anything?
We have not seen too much political stuff. I think the difficult thing with they already have a lot of their own.
So many.
Yeah, they already have their own mechanisms and pollsters and all this kind of stuff. So, yeah, we'll stay out of it. We'll stay out of that right now.
The politics. Yeah. Too polarizing. It is too polarizing, but some of them could use messaging help. For sure. Justin, this has been fascinating. I know that. I mean, this is super helpful and relevant for a lot of people that are tuning in to the show that are selling on Amazon right now. There's so much benefit they can get. So I encourage everyone to do it. Go check them out and run your first poll. But again, we're going to do this again, Justin. We got to get you back on because there's so many more questions. I mean, I'm just going to think of all the things I could test and we're going to walk through those. But again, thanks so much. Really appreciate it. And thanks everybody for tuning in. And listening to this great content from Justin. And we'll be back at this again on the next episode. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you.